Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness through God's servant, Pastor Emeka Egwuchukwu.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again today. We want to appreciate you for the grace you've granted to us, God, again to study your word. Thank you for Paul writing to Timothy. Thank you that we're able to have this epistle as it is written, Lord, over many years ago, Lord, and to us it speaks. Even to us today, it speaks very loud to us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your holy written word. Lord, I ask that as we study today, your spirit will breathe upon it. Inspire me, I pray, to speak directly into the hearts, into the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus, I commit everyone into your hand that is listening to me. Wherever they are, I pray that you will reach them. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, grant them an open heart, oh God. And Lord, let there be an entrance minister to them, every one of them, oh God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. All right, so we are going to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 by God's grace. And, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 5 is a very rich passage. And by God's grace, we are going to go through it, trusting God that the Lord will grant us mercy today in the name of Jesus. Okay, so we will just begin from verse 1. Paul was writing to Timothy. Now, you must understand that the time these things were, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he didn't put chapters, neither did he put verses. It was just one letter. And sometimes I used to wonder when I see this letter, if you tell me that 1 Timothy is later, I said, later those days can be long ago, because it's a long letter. I don't think that Gen Z's will want to read this kind of letter. You know, it's very long. You just want to just do it and, you know, briefly. But thank God that it's not just later written to Timothy alone. It's a letter written to all of us in the body of Christ. And so when Paul was writing, it wasn't just Paul writing. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost to write these things down. So as it is also for Timothy, so it is for us today. Amen. That God is speaking to us through his word. And so we take it to heart that it is the Lord that is speaking to us. So I'll just read from verse 1. It says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the older women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusted in God and continued in supplication and prayer night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported for good works. If she had brought up children, if she had lodged strangers, if she had washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted if she had diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tellers, also a busybody, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, that is the widows, bear children, guide their house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them receive them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially them that labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that seem rebuke before all, that others also may learn. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of any man's sin. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often infirmity. Some men saying are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good work of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Praise God. Amen. It's quite some read. Praise God. We'll just take it little by little. Praise God. All right. Now, these are instructions that Paul was giving to Timothy. I just call it the pastoral duty that Paul has. Because you see, it's like when you see a prophet, the prophetic grace stands out strongly. The same with evangelists, the same with apostle. When you see a pastor, the pastoral grace stands out really much. You can see a pastor that is prophetic. You can see a pastor that has a prophetic grace working in his ministry. And you can see, but you'll see that the pastoral grace stands out, you know. So you can see that how this ministry gives, they all relate. You can go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and you see all of them. But with the pastor, because Timothy happens to be a pastor, we can also call Timothy a pastor who has an apostolic calling. You know what I mean, apostolic calling. Now, for pastor, someone like Timothy wasn't just a pastor of a, you know, that we say greet the church in the house of Phineas or something like that. It wasn't the house of Phineas. It was the whole, I'll call it the, like Ephesus. Praise God. You know, like 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. So you can see Paul was the one who sent him to Ephesus, or they were at Ephesus together, and Paul left him there and then commissioned him to be, he said, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That has to be an apostle to be able to do that. So he was more of a pastor with an apostolic ministry, you know, but very much the pastoral grace was strong. Now, but the apostolic ministry was equally strong. Why I say the apostolic ministry was equally strong? Because for you to be able to pastor the whole of Ephesus, the whole of Ephesus. And Paul, I'm telling you, Timothy would have tried for the church in Ephesus to be able to qualify to be one of the candlestick churches we find in the book of Revelation. I tell you that Timothy did a good work. He did a good work for, you can understand what I mean, for a local church to be one of the, and what I mean, those, we know we call it local church, but it's not local church the way we have it. It's like pastoring all the church. Let's say Ephesus was like Lagos, pastoring all the churches in Lagos. That's something big. That's something, I know they might not be having the kind of number we have presently in Lagos, but it's just like pastoring is like a church in a city, and then you have other home churches, and they come together sometimes to have meetings, and Timothy was the one that was sent to pastor them. That was really powerful. So Timothy was a very powerful, I call him an apostolic pastor. He was an apostolic pastor to be able to set in order and charge some people, hold the church and raise the church and strengthen the church to the point where the church will be qualified to also come to that place where it can be, I'll call it a candlestick church. That's really very, very great. So we begin to see the things that, Paul instructed Timothy. And I want to say this to all of us, especially those of us who are pastors. If we just pay attention to the things that Paul said to Timothy, I can assure you, and we implement them and we do them and we obey them, trusting God, I can tell you that you will raise a very strong local church, whether a church as a local church, the way we have it today, or even a community church, as the case may be, if we can take heed to these instructions that Paul gave to Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, those two books are highly pastoral, and also Philemon was also pastoral, but majorly 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, we are very, very, very pastoral. If we pay attention to them and just let that be our, what I call our rule book, you know, our instruction manual for pastoring, I can tell you, if praying and doing it, you'll be able to raise a church to become a candlestick church. And I'm sure that that's the desire of any pastor. I don't know about you. I know some desire to have, have great congregation. That's good. That's good. God gives that. Some desire to have church that is made up of wealthy people. That's good. That's good. There's nothing wrong about that. God can give that. But the most important thing is that whether they are 30, whether they are 300, whether they are 3,000, can you pastor them to the point where they can connect to the head, our Lord Jesus? That's the most important thing. That should be the thing that should be paramount in the heart of every pastor. How do I make them know the Lord? How do I make them know the Lord? You know, can I as a pastor get to the point where I will say, like Paul said, he said, I've washed my hand from any man's blood. Man, that's very big, big indictment to us as pastors, meaning that you have to do everything. Paul was telling them in Acts of the Apostles, speaking to the church in Ephesus. He said, I've not ceased to warn you night and day. Night and day. That's Acts of the Apostles chapter 20, from verse 29 or so. Okay, yeah, 31. He said, therefore, okay, from 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He kept telling them, also of your own self shall men rise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That was what Paul was telling Timothy in that Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, that he should... He left him in Ephesus to make sure to charge them that they teach no other doctrine. So you see that some were already rising. Though this 31 now said, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul wasn't just teaching. Paul was teaching them, warning them, teaching doctrine, establishing them, warning them night and day with tears. What does he want to do? He wants to present them as a chaste virgin unto the Lord. And he did. He did. Thank God for Timothy. Thank God for Timothy that they worked together. You know, he was able to present the church in Ephesus as a chaste virgin before the Lord. That's why the church in Ephesus could qualify for to be a candlestick church. I believe that all those candlestick churches were chaste virgin before the Lord. They are all chaste virgin. If they were not chaste virgin, they would not become golden candlesticks. It's not all the churches that became golden candlesticks, like you find them in the book of Revelation. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Paul must have done a lot of work, and then Timothy carried on also likewise. You know, in Philippians, he was telling him, I have no other person that will be able to take care of you that have the same kind of mind like Timothy does, whom I will send to you. Praise God. So they worked together. So Paul was giving him instructions on how to pastor. Thank God for Paul. Thank God for raising Paul. And Paul wasn't just for Timothy those days. Paul is also for us. The things he wrote are also for us. Given these instructions, I can tell you we will be able to present the church as a chaste virgin. That's my desire, that the church that I'm pastoring, I'll be able to present the church as a chaste virgin before the Lord. Amen. It takes a lot of labor. It takes a lot of labor. I tell you, it takes labor. But none of us is sufficient. When I say it takes a lot of labor, the labor is God that grants the grace, and is also the one that gives the materials. All he wants us is to be in the place where we can constantly receive from him and give to the people. Praise God. And keep it pure. So Timothy was being spoken to by Paul. This is how you deal with people in the church. This is how you deal with people in the church. I want to say this. I've seen churches where, you know, one thing you must understand with church is this. If you are really a pastor in a church where you want to present everybody, you know, at the whole church, as a chaste virgin, one thing you must understand is that you have the adversary. You have the devil that beguiled Eve. He knows the place of the church. He knows that the church also is I won't say the type, or the church is the perfect type of Eve. So when he sees, because he reads, he understands times, he understands things. And then when he saw what was actually being played out in that book of Genesis, when you read the book of Genesis, where he became to beguile Eve, Eve was the, like we could say, the woman. And out of the woman was going to come forth children, first of all, Cain and Abel. We are the first that we are mentioned. But what's happened actually, that's the devil came, entered into the serpent, and then beguiled Eve. And then through Eve, you know, Adam ate the fruit, and of course, Satan was able to enter into the domain of man, and then we know all that, you know, began to take place. Man fell. Now, God spoke, because God is a prophet. So if I say God prophesied, I'm right. God spoke concerning, I will create enmity between you and her seed. You know, I will create enmity, talking to Satan, that's the serpent. I will create enmity between you and the seed of the woman. The seed of the woman will bruise your head, and then you will bruise his heel. Now, you need to understand that seed of the woman, interestingly, it was talking about, of course, you know, that prophecy are secrets, hidden codes, you know. So I'm sure from that point, Satan began to look for anything that looked like a seed of a woman. From that day, anything that looked, so immediately he saw Cain and Abel, he went after them straight away. And he made sure he captured at least one of them, and then made the other one to kill, so that, and then he had always been doing that till the time Israel came. When he saw Israel, the way Israel was coming, he was saying something about Israel. He went after Israel. Amen. Amen. He went after Israel. Then in the midst of Israel, he now found out, okay, that there's this woman called Mary, you know, you know, because Mary was also a typology of the woman, you know. And then Jesus, our Lord, being the seed of the woman, being the seed of the woman. Now, also that same way, the church also as a body is seen as a woman. You can see that in the book of Revelation chapter 12. Amen. Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now, this woman is not Mary, please, as some people think it. Is also not Israel, as some people take it theologically to think that, to make it that look as if it is Israel as a nation. Is the church. Now, let's analyze it, please. I know it will take me a little bit off, but it's good we get this right, because it's a big contention even among ministers. Now, you have to agree with me. The book of Revelation is an epistle. We call it super epistle because it's a letter written to the seven churches. Now, the epistles of Paul were also letters written to the seven churches, it was also written to seven churches, but not the way it is in the book of Revelation. And then come the letter of Peter and James and also John and who again, that's Jude. Now, these are letters written to the church. Now, when you read Peter, you could see that it was the same thing with Paul. And all of them, they were all talking about the church. Now, you must understand that what God was doing, it was a dispensation of the church. So, the book of Revelation, God didn't stop with the church in Pauline epistles, after Pauline epistles, or after John's epistle. And then when he gets to the book of Revelation, then he begins with the church. I mean, begins with Israel, as some people suppose. No. Because when you look at the churches that we are mentioned in the book of Revelation 2 and 3, there is no Jewish. Those churches were all Gentile churches. They were all Gentile churches. They were churches that the Lord was demanding that they should overcome. They were churches that the Lord was demanding that they should overcome. It is these churches that made up the woman that you find in the book of Revelation, because if he's separated, then it does not tally. He has to tally, because what the Spirit of God was, when you read the book of Revelation chapter 1, let's look at it briefly. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now you can see that it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave him to give unto his servants. And who are these servants? Now you need to understand, who are these servants? Then these servants, you begin to see them from chapter 2. You begin to see them from chapter 2. Because here in these churches have become churches that you can call servants. Because when you read some of them, one of the churches, he said, talking about that woman called Jezebel, who has taught my servants. Now, the church that he mentioned, who had taught my servant, was not a church made up of, it was not a Hebrew church. It was not a Jew thing. It was the church. And now, let me say this. Even us, when we say Gentile churches, we only use that to reference an error. But the truth is that church is church. He has broken the middle wall of partition. That's what the Bible said. He has broken the middle wall of partition. So there is no, in Christ, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile. We must understand that. And we must get that this is the mystery that God, the Lord committed to Paul, and which he said he was, when he was writing it in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He said, so that when you read with me, okay, thank you. It began it from chapter 2. But here in chapter 3, verse 4, let's look at chapter 3, verse 4. He said, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Go further. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. So it's a secret that was not made known unto the sons of men When it means sons of men, talking about prophets, it's not sons of men as in everybody. The prophets, he was not made known unto them, because all the prophets of old, they were all Jews. When I mean they were all Jews. Amen. They were all Israel. They were all of Israel in the flesh. But they are the ones, out of them came sons of men. Sons of men mean prophet. They don't call you a son of man when you're just an ordinary flesh, grass. Your grass. There's a difference between grass and a son of man. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. I love this. Holy apostles and prophets. So when he mentioned holy apostles and prophets. Now what we had in the book, in the Old Testament script, we are more of prophet. Prophetic grace, prophetic ministries was what we found lined up. But it was in the New Testament we began to see apostles. So when it says holy apostles and prophet, then it's referring to the church. Because what you find in the church is holy apostles and prophets. That was holy means separated apostles and prophet by the Spirit. Now verse 6. That the Gentiles, are you seeing it? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. So Gentiles are meant to be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Gentiles. So they are bringing Gentile. They are bringing Jews. So I even want us to begin to cancel that concept of Gentile churches. There is no church that is Gentile. There is no church that is Jew, because in Christ, there is no Jew. There is no Gentile. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. So we are bringing in the Gentiles and of the same body. God's intention is that's the mystery. That's the secret that which we are hid to prophets, you know, that's sons of men, but now being made known to his holy apostles and prophets. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So that promise in Christ by the gospel. In Christ, the Jews also have to come into Christ to be able to partake of it. If the Jews don't come into Christ, they will not partake of it. That's the truth of the matter. God is not going to set aside Christ and now begin to deal with the Jews according to the old covenant. The old covenant in the book of Hebrews, if you study very well, is done away with. Is done away with. God has done away with it, because that covenant could not make them perfect. It could not make them perfect. But here, the new covenant, which is established on better promises, which Christ, our Lord, is the high priest of. The high priest of this covenant here now admits both the Jews and the Gentiles into one body. Amen. Now give me back that Ephesians where we are reading. Let's finish it. Amen. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister. Are you seeing it? He's made a minister according to the gift of the grace given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Praise God. So we can say it, of course, we understand that we are in studying that Paul was sent to the Gentiles and Peter was sent to the Jews. Amen. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Peter was sent to the Jews. Now, what were they? If they say they sent you, to go and bring them. So let's say this is Christ. So Christ sent Paul, go and bring the Gentiles. And then sent Peter, go and bring the Jews. So when Peter was writing, he was writing to the strangers. Strangers, we are the Jews, basically the church that we are Hebrews. You know, Paul eventually wrote to the Hebrew church also, trying to make them understand this very thing. So you need to understand it. Praise God. So I want to say that there is no Jew, there is no Gentile in Christ. All of us have to come to Christ. They've broken the middle wall of partition. Give me that place. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. They are Greek. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bound nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 2 where it said he has Yeah, that's the place. He said, for he is our peace who had made both one. Who has made both one. So both means that there are two, Jews and Gentiles. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Amen. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of three in one new man, so making peace. Did you understand me? So in Christ is our peace. Jews, Gentiles, there was an enmity, but in Christ, we all become one. So when we come to the book of Revelation, I want to say this, and I'm saying it to all of my brethren who are also, you know, Bible teachers, and we need to consider this. I'm not saying that you should take on my own theology, but we need to consider this. You can't bypass all these things that Paul I was saying, which the Lord gave to him, which was the mystery God gave to him. And then you can bypass the book of Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, which are basically churches that is not predominantly Jews, but a mixture. Because I want to believe that those churches were a mixture. You had Jews there, you had Greek there, you have whatever from Ethiopia. You may have people from different places that make up those churches. Amen. Hallelujah. And they were all, look at it. Jump to the seven churches, verse 4. Jump to the seven churches, Revelation 1, verse 4. Jump to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you. So these are seven churches which are in Asia. And then I can tell you, by reason of the fact that the church began in Jerusalem and then eventually was scattered, that I doubt that there will be hardly any place where church will be and you will not find a Jew. Can I show you? You remember when Paul went to one of the churches, and then, he was preaching to them, ministering to them, and he, with him also was Peter, and they ate with the Gentiles. They were together with the Gentiles and other brethren who were also not Gentiles. They were eating with the Gentiles until some came from Jerusalem. And when some came from Jerusalem, you now saw that, thank you. Galatians chapter 2. Give me from verse 11. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Go further. For before that Satan came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So circumcision was their problem. Go for that, verse 13. And the other Jews, so there were other Jews in that Gentile church, also did likewise. In so much that Barnabas also was carried away. So you can understand what I'm saying in essence is that there was hardly any church. This was church, in that was Galatian, Antioch was a Gentile community. And so the church there also had Jews and also had Gentiles. So I'm saying generally that all the churches, as church began to spread, they were also Jews, they were also Gentiles together in the church. Christ is all in all. Amen. So you can understand with me why I said that the book of Revelation chapter 12 I'm talking about the woman. It's not Israelite. Please don't misunderstand me. I know some people listen and they're very, very sensitive. They'll soon call you anti-Semitic. I am not. I love Israel. I pray for Israel. And if I have any way of supporting Israel, I will, because I believe that through them, our Lord Jesus came. But you must understand that it is in Christ Jesus. I love that. He is our peace who has made both one. Both 1, and has broken the middle wall of partition. What made Jews and what made Gentiles? He had broken it. And in that one body has made the two one body. So we must accept this. If it's difficult for you to accept it, then I don't know what you're going to accept. But that's the truth of the matter. In Revelation chapter 12, that woman that I'm talking about actually is the church. Is the church. And in this woman, you will find both Jews and Gentiles. And I believe that the churches that you find in Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 2 are actually the churches that will make up this woman. And out of this woman will come forth a seed. Will come forth a seed called the man-child. That man-child also is the seed of the woman. But it's not just one. Like Christ, is there are many, but they are one. There are many, but they are one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in saying what I was saying before I went far away teaching this, which, amen, I'm just trying to make us see that it is possible. As I began to look at it, I see, okay, it's possible to actually make a church a candlestick. I wish every one of us would take this to heart. That is possible for to really, you know, I know church, there's many expressions and it's according to the grace that God has given to us. But if anybody really wants to pastor after this order, want to pastor after the order of the New Testament, what you should be aiming at the least, I want to say the least, is for the church to become a candlestick church, which is what qualifies her to be the woman, amen, that you find in Revelation chapter 12, because the woman is a church. And in the church was found a church called Man-Child Church, and also her brethren, because the woman also had other children. The woman, that's the church, she had in her other children, those who kept the commandment of God and the testimony of Jesus. They are called the remnant of her seed. The remnant of her seed. And then there is the man-child also company. So you have companies. Amen. Praise God. They are all in that church. But I want to say to you, it's not all the church that qualifies to be this woman that will be clothed with the Son. It's not the church that we have today. I'm sorry. You might differ with me. It's not all the church. And I dare to say also, it's not all the body of Christ, the church that you're seeing today, the church world, that will make up what is called the bride of Christ. No. That bridal company, that bride to become a chaste virgin, you know what it takes? Amen. But one of the consolations I have today that I'm sharing is that I looked at the book of Timothy. I looked at the first Timothy. I looked at second Timothy and Titus and the kind of instructions that Paul gave to him, and also saw that he was able to pastor this church to the point that the church became a candlestick church. Then it means that there's hope for us even today. That we can pastor our churches to the point where our church can become a candlestick church. And what we need to do is already given to us here. It's already written. So all these instructions, don't just take them lightly. I'm speaking to pastors. I'm also speaking to members as well. Because it's not only pastor that will become a candlestick church. It's not only pastor that will become a candlestick. Pastor alone cannot become a candlestick church. Pastor alone does not make up a church. So he has to take pastor and also the members to become that kind of church which the Lord desires. I used to like this Hillsong church. Yeah, I mean, this Hillsong music, Open Our Eyes, to see what makes your heart cry. To be the church that you desire. Amen. I love that song a lot, because each time I listen to the song, it just shows me that there is a church that God desires. There's a church that the Lord desires. A light to be seen. Amen. Praise God. We're not singing it today. So this is Epistle Life. We don't sing song in Epistle Life. Hallelujah. But I just love the song because, you know, so I'm speaking to everyone that desires to be part of this church, this kind of church, and for a pastor who also desires to
to present the church, like I said, whether 30 you have, and I can tell you, sir or ma, if the Lord gives you 30 and you present them as a church virgin, you are a champion. That is what I'll tell you. You are a star. Than somebody who have 3,000 or 30,000 and all of them are babies. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't have reward. He has reward, but to raise babies. Can I say something to you? I'm a pastor and I can tell you the truth. It's easier to raise smaller congregation to mature than when you have the many. I'm telling you the truth. That's what I've discovered as a pastor. I've been a pastor for many years now. You know, it's easier if I have 300 or, you know, even 300, you know, 300, 300 signifies something. Amen. Gideon's army was 300. The Lord had to pursue everybody back. You guys go home. You're not ready to fight. So if the Lord himself knows that when there are many, now wahala, when there are many, how many were they? There were, 32,000 that came first, and then the Lord pursued some back, and they were seeing, the Lord said, no, you guys are too many. Sir, this is a prophetic, sir. They are very, very prophetic. It means that the people that will make up the man-child company, they're not going to be that large number. But me, I want to be there. I want to be there. I don't know about you, but I want to be there. And I'm also praying that, and if, even at least, if I cannot carry all my brethren that I'm pastoring to become my child, at least let me bring them to the baseline, which is the candlestick churches. That's the woman. And probably from her, from that church, we can have remnant of her seed, and that we have those who will qualify to be the man-child church. Amen. Praise God. I don't know whether you desire this or you think I'm just trying to, you know, say some things by myself. No. There are scriptures and there are things that has to be done. So when you read Timothy, I want you to read it with another mindset that if Paul could could minister, raise the church in Ephesus and left Timothy there and gave Timothy instructions and Timothy carried those instructions and this church became a candlestick church, then it means that I should just copy and paste. It's possible by the Spirit, not by power, not by might. I can take these instructions that are given to Timothy and Titus, and if I follow it prayerfully, it's possible that I will be able to also bring the church that I'm pastoring to that point where the church can be a candlestick church. I always say it, for New and Living Way Church, my desire is I will be at least candlestick church. We should not be anything less than candlestick. There are churches that we are not candlestick church. There are churches that we are candlestick church, and the Lord threatened them, I will remove your candlestick. If I remove your candlestick, then it means that, does it mean that the church will stop existing? No. That church will still be church. But it implies that there are some who their own, that church has not formed as a candlestick, golden candlestick. So there are many churches, but there was a church that had formed a golden candlestick. So it's important that we know this. And so that we can run well, so that we can do what the Lord has called us to do, you know, with understanding. So Paul began to teach Timothy. One of them is this. He said, rebuke not an elder, but treat him as a father. These things are instructions, sir. This is instructions. Entreat them. That word entreat is what's another word for entreat here? Exhort or encourage them or speak to them amicably as fathers. You know, as a pastor, if you're not careful, Satan can enter your head and you think that it is the Lord. When I mean enter your head, by reason of the anointing and by reason of the, you know, the office, you can, and then you're not supposed to talk to members roughly. It is not acceptable. You don't talk to them roughly. You just, even though a pastor is a shepherd, I know the whole ministry give, they are all shepherds, but the pastor is a shepherd that stays with the sheep. Now imagine when the pastor is talking to John. I've never seen any shepherd that is talking. All the shepherds that I have read about and have known, they have soft voice. The way they handle the sheep, the way they play with the sheep, they are too tender. They are very tender towards the sheep. It's only the wolf that barks after the sheep. So some are not shepherds. Some are actually wolves. So you can decide to be a wolf. You know, if you've seen wolves and what they do to sheep, you understand what I'm talking about. Because the strength of the wolf is his mouth. You can use your mouth to destroy sheep. To destroy sheep doesn't mean that the person will stop coming to your church. Even though they get to a point where the Lord will just take them to somewhere, somebody else that can pastor them. But you can use your mouth and tear somebody down. You can use your mouth and destroy, demoralize, you know, a sheep by the way you talk to the sheep. By the way you talk to the sheep. So this, both the elder, the younger, men and women who are in the church, they were all sheep. And Paul was telling Timothy how to behave thyself in the church of the living God. Are you seeing it? How to be? Because it's in this Timothy said that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. But if I tarry, that thou mayest know thou how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is this church of the living God, is that Ephesus church. That's the church of Ephesus. So you can see why that church became Candlestick Church. The pillar, that's Candlestick, and the ground of truth. It has base, and it's a pillar also. But you need to tell him how you behave yourself. You don't behave yourself anyhow. You don't become lord over the Lord's heritage. There are things you are not allowed to do as a shepherd. You don't talk to them anyhow. That the fact that you have that office of a shepherd, you know, you have the office of a shepherd and, you know, the anointing that I'm talking about pastor now, because some are pastors and they are not necessarily shepherds. They are pastors. Well, I mean, pastors, but the office of a shepherd is, like I said, all the fivefold ministry are shepherds, but the pastor, one can, now, let me also say this, that one is called pastor does not mean that the person is a pastor, really. One sign of a pastor is that he must have the heart of a shepherd. And one of the key, because it's what is in the heart that is going to come out. So Paul was telling Timothy instructions. And I'm sure Timothy was already formed like this because Timothy has followed Paul. When Paul was telling them, he said, when I was with you, I warned you night and day. I did not withdraw from declaring the whole counsel of God to you. And I was doing it with tears. You know, when you see an apostle crying when he's teaching, begging you, don't go back. You need to keep following the Lord with all your heart, crying. That's a shepherd, man. It's only shepherds that cry. It's only shepherds that cry. Amen. It's only a shepherdic heart that can shed tears. Amen. Then go back. So he told him, don't rebuke an elder, but entreat him as a father. Don't talk. Another translation say, don't talk harshly. Let's look at New Living Translation. Probably that will help us also appreciate what Paul is saying here. Praise God. New Living Translation. If you get it before me, that will be good. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 5. He said, do not rebuke an elder, an older man, but exalt him as a father, the younger men as brothers. Okay, the younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. I don't know if you're seeing that. Praise God. I love this. It says, never speak harshly to an older man. That's amplified. but appeal to him, appeal, I love that word, appeal. Appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to the younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat the older women as you would to your mother. And treat the younger women as you would, the younger women with all purity as you would to your own sisters. Now that is also the reason why somebody who is hot-tempered, somebody who is harsh, should not pastor. Or somebody will say, okay, I should speak to them the way I speak to my father. I know some people will speak harshly to their father because they lack wisdom. And some people will talk harshly to their mother. I've seen that. I've seen that some people just, you know, blast on their mother because they lack wisdom. That's lack of wisdom. Praise God. So he was saying, this is how you approach them. I love this amplified. He said, never speak harshly. Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. So it means that if somebody has not had a father that he appeals to respectfully, the person doesn't have any business coming to pastor people or to younger, you know, the fact that you have younger people or you have younger men doesn't mean you just brashly, harshly talk to them. No, there's a way you talk. There's a way you talk to them as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would to your mothers, and to younger women with all purity. He mentioned it, with all purity as you would to your own sisters. Very, very important. Now, let's start with the older men. Praise God. I hope our time is still there. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. Leviticus 19, 32. So we can see where Paul was taking this thing. He said, and thou shalt rise up before the hoary hair, that's the gray hair, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. So when you're doing that, what you're actually doing is that you're fearing God. So when you don't do that, then that means you don't fear God. If you can give it to me in an amplified version. I am the Lord. That's what he said. When you're doing this, you should be afraid of me. Don't just rise up and begin to talk to a gray man. He said, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the aged. And you shall fear your God with profound reverence. I am the Lord. So this is what the Lord is saying. He said, I'm watching the way you treat the gray. Because the way you treat the gray is the way you treat me. That's how God judges. If you treat the gray hair rashly, brashly, that's the way you treat me. Because our Lord, his hair is white as wool. Now, I don't mean that he's an old man. He looks old. No, his visage is not old. But the truth is that he's ancient of days. And there is a way the gray behaves that will get a young man. Because a young man, his glory is his strength. But the gray is his wisdom. Gray is wisdom. Gray is honor. Now, if you don't see the gray hair as honor, you will not honor the gray. You will not honor the aged. And I can tell you something, sir. If you do not honor, look at what he said in the book of Ephesians chapter. He said, honor your father and your mother that it might be well with you. Ephesians 6 verse 2. Honor your father and your mother that it might be. He said, this is the first commandment with promise. First commandment with promise. That's the scripture. The first commandment with promise. Meaning first commandment that has promise attached to it, that it might be well with thee and thou mayest live long on earth. As a pastor, if you don't honor the gray that are or the elderly men that are in your church, you will die young. Because the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be, you can't break the scripture. You can't, no. With your anointing, with your office as a pastor or your office as a leader, you can die young. Because you violate the scripture. So Paul was telling Timothy, as a young man, this is how you treat the elderly. Now, and God is saying that when you treat them like that, I see how you treat me. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. So God's judgment is that if you honor the aged, if you rise before the gray-headed, and you shall, he said, you shall fear your God. When you're doing that, you're fearing your God with profound reverence. Now, one of the things about this generation is that you find is a generation that lacks honor, a generation that lacks respect, a generation that will ask their father, are you the one feeding me? I'm young. But I keep this scripture. Even when I'm traveling, in the many times it had happened in the bus. Here in Nigeria, we still have a little bit of it, but it's fast going away. It's fast going away. You don't find it with Gen Zs. You don't find it with what do you call the new one? Is it Gen Z or whatever they are called? Just be Gen God. Amen. Just obey God's word. He says, stand up in the presence of the elderly. That's New Living Translation. Stand up in the presence of the elderly. Amen. And show respect to the aged. Fear God. I am the Lord. So when you're not doing this, you're not fearing God. So I was talking about, I had time when I was traveling like that, I see somebody who is older inside the bus. Not in Nigeria. You know, in Nigeria, it's nothing. You can do that, especially, because Nigeria, we still have a little bit of culture of respect. But over there, place like London, you're entering bus or train, and then nobody cares. Nobody cares. But I see somebody who is older. I stand up. I ask the person to sit down. Amen. That should be the attitude we should. Now, someone is saying, okay, are you not trying to show? No, I'm training my heart. If you feel I'm trying to show, it's your business, but I'm training my heart. Now, someone is saying, okay, if you can do it in Nigeria, but when you get out there, nobody really cares. No, it's the heart. You honor the Lord with your heart. The aged, the gray hair is not only limited to Nigeria. Is everywhere. You have old people everywhere. So when your heart is not trained like that, and can I say something to you? Now, when you don't learn this culture, this attitude, you don't learn this spirit of fear and reverence and respect and honor for the aged, let me tell you what you're doing. You're training your heart to conform to the spirit of this age. Because the Spirit speaketh expressly in this same Timothy that in the last day, perilous time shall come. Men shall be heady, high-minded. Look at it. Perilous time shall come. Men, chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy. This know also that in the last days, perilous time shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self. So you can see where the thing is springing from. They are lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-headed, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Does that look like this age? You find all of these things very, very much amplified in this age. Now, this is what I'm saying. In the last day, perilous time shall come. You know how perilous time shall come? Men, spirits would have trained men to become like this. And this is the kind of men that are called children of disobedience, that God will bring his wrath upon. So I have to deliberately train my heart not to be like this. Understand me. I have to deliberately train my heart not to be like this. Now, somebody will hear, okay, how do I do that? No, you have to be deliberate about this. You have to be deliberate about it. Okay, but you hear God's word here. But after hearing God's word, you have to put it into practice. And one of it is that's what Paul was telling Timothy here. He said, this is how you treat elderly men. Stand up in the presence of the elderly. Amen. And show respect to the aged. When you're doing that, you fear God. Amen. So, not just older men, but also older women. I personally use the word ma for every older woman and even younger women. I use the word ma. And somebody was like, no, no, it's for my heart. It's for my heart. I want my heart to be to fear the Lord, to keep fear and honor. And the Bible says, honor all men. Honor all men. That's all women too. Honor all men. Honor all men. Amen. Love the brotherhood, but honor every man. Praise God. First Peter chapter 2, verse 17. He says, honor all men. So you must honor all men. You can't say, okay, the younger man, I can treat them. No, honor everybody. Honor Agberu. Honor Omonile. If you have had dealings with them, you understand what I'm talking about. Honor them. Don't talk harshly to them. Honor the bus conductor, the bus driver, honor the keke person, honor the biker, honor, they are all men. Now, it's not about them, it's about my heart. It's about my heart. You need to realize why this is so, it's about my heart. Honor all men. It's not just because of all men. It's because I want my heart to be in a state of fear and reverence for the Lord. If I do not do that, I'll train myself to be hard, callous, and then high-minded. I'll become high-minded and heady. I wouldn't know when I'll slip into that. Hearts can be trained though, and you are the one that will train your heart. You take up God's word to train your heart, or you take up whatever the spirit of this age is pumping into this generation to train your heart. If you go against God's word, you are training your heart also. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's also look at, I love the way, because the same thing, you can see that the same instructions he gave to Timothy was also the same instructions he gave to Titus. Look at Titus chapter 2 from verse 2. We'll just run down through it. He said, that the aged man be, okay, give me from verse 1. But speak thou these things which become sound doctrine. Are you seeing it? This is doctrine. This is doctrine. But speak thou these things which become sound doctrine. That aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Go further. That aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness and holiness, not false accusers, not giving to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober and to love their husband and to love their children. Now, this is what I want to connect with this. Now, if I cannot receive from the older, if I don't place honor. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. I can't receive from the, like you said, the aged women likewise. He said they should teach. He said that they may teach the younger women to be sober and to love their husband and to love their children. I'll take that maybe much later when I get there, or maybe next week when I'm still talking about this. But what I want to connect there from this is that one of the reasons why you need to honor the older men and the older women is also because there is something. Now, I'm speaking not just to you as a pastor, but to you as a brother. There are things you can learn from them. You know, you can be like Timothy was young, very, very young. And I don't know whether Timothy was married. I've not tried to search that out. But he was young and probably a bachelor. And then he was pastoring this church, which, of course, we have, if there was no older men and older women, Paul wouldn't be giving instructions about that, but the church will have them. Amen. Now, whether you like it or not, there are wisdom that comes by natural age. There is wisdom that comes by natural age. If I've been here longer than you, I used to remember one of my teachers then in secondary school. He said something that I just put it in my breast pocket. She was advising us about something. She said, "I have eaten more fish than you." We are just kids. We are in secondary school. We are maybe 13, 14, 15. You know, and she was advising us that, you know, the young people, the way they feel, they know what they are doing. Okay. You know, young people, they feel everything revolves around them, especially that teenage life. You think everything starts and ends with you. They don't understand me. They don't understand, because we always use that. And it's not, I used to tell my children, I said, there is nothing that you think I don't understand that, I mean, you're saying I don't understand that I don't understand, because that age, I passed through that age. And one of the deception is that they don't understand me, they don't understand me. And there is something inside of you that just wants to find one kind of expression that if it's unguided, it will land you into trouble. And so they want to guide you, they don't understand me, they don't understand me, they don't understand what I'm trying to do. But somebody has seen things like this and can say, this is where you will end, this is where you will end. So she said something to us, she was advising us, she used this word, she said, "I've eaten more fish than you. I know bone." I know bone. So when I'm advising you, don't eat this type, don't eat this place, I know what I'm saying. Then she now used another one. I said, "I have been here for more Christmas than you." Praise God. Now that's the wisdom of the aged. Now if you are somebody who, that you've been here does not mean you've eaten more fish than me. Well, I don't know. I don't know, when you're meeting somebody who is in her 40s and then you are just in your teen and she tells you she has eaten more fish than you, you better believe it. What am I saying in essence? I'm saying that the older, there is also wisdom that comes with age, physical age. There's wisdom that comes with that, which even you as a pastor, maybe you're a pastor in your 20s or in your 30s and you're meeting somebody who is in his 60s, there are things you can learn. I personally learn from the older that are even church members that I'm pastoring. I learn from them. I learn a lot from them. I watch them. Even though they may call me pastor, but I honor them. From my heart, I do honor them. And I learn from them. Now, this is what I'm saying. Where there is no honor, there will not be a transfer. Where there is no honor, you will not learn. If you don't honor, for instance, you don't honor your pastor, you will not learn. You can be in that church and be maybe enjoying the atmosphere, enjoying the worship, enjoying your friendship, but if you don't learn to honor your pastor, for instance, you will not learn. You will not receive. You know, that's part of the, I want to call it the principles of receiving. You receive by placing honor. So when he was talking about the older women teaching the younger women to be sober, how to love their husbands and to honor to love their children. Now, if Paul didn't teach because what he was teaching Timothy, he was also saying Timothy should teach, because here, He made reference to Titus and saying these things are the things that become sound doctrine. These are the things that become sound doctrine. These are the things you will teach them that become sound doctrine, that the men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, in patience, and all of that. Now, what I'm saying in essence is that if we don't learn to, because he was talking to the whole church, talking to Titus first and then to the whole church. Now, if you don't learn, if you don't have this kind of culture, spiritual culture around you, you'll discover that now, I'll give an example. That's one of the things I discovered, Pastor, is that some young people don't want to listen to the older people. I'm a pastor, and well, sometimes when I'm giving counsel, and, you know, especially when it comes to counsels that are, you know, maybe that seemingly looks not counsel concerning your spiritual life, but your physical. But you must also understand that your physical is not detached from your spiritual. That's wisdom. The spiritual, your physical is not detached from your spiritual. Maybe I'll give a counsel like what I was talking about in BIB. Don't borrow money to furnish your house. Somebody will say, I need to choose the house. I need to make, don't borrow money. Stay within your income. It must not look like the one of the other brother that earns, maybe a brother is earning like maybe $1 million a month or $2 million a month, and then you're earning 200. And then you've gotten a house, you've gone to that brother's house, and then you've seen what is in his house, and then you feel like, oh, this is fine, I can do the same thing. Then you now come to you, starting your own house, you want to go and borrow money to furnish your house so that it will look like, that's stupidity. That's not, there's no wisdom in it. Stay within, because God is also watching you. And I used to tell them, I say, God will not increase grace for finance over your life if you do that. He's watching because he wants you to be a steward. He will train you. They train us, so they train us. The training is not just, spiritually. They train how things, they trail how things come into our hands. And sometimes they can prevent some things from coming because we are not yet prepared for it. You know, I can say that, and somebody says, I need to make my own look too short. It needs to look fine. Don't you see how the other brother? No, nobody is your standard. Nobody should be your standard when it comes to that kind of thing. Rather, if we are to be standards to anybody, of course, Christ is a standard for everyone. Amen. And Christ didn't have any house, for your information. He didn't build one. Amen. He didn't have all of those things. And yet he pleased God. So if there's any standard, the standard should be patient, should be faith, should be these virtues. That should be our standard. But we rarely look at those things. We see other things. We are more attracted to the physical. And so we run into problems sometimes. Now, I'm just saying that, for instance, as a pastor, I give such a counsel. I've given such counsel. You could just see that it didn't go down well with the person that I gave the counsel. And I was just, okay. I did not be like, I'm stopping you from doing what you want to do. But I know if you borrow money to do that, you might say, I'll pay. You pay. But they are watching you. You and your money does not belong to you. You belong to the Lord. They are watching you. And they'll say, okay, this person is a faithful steward. Let's give more allowance to him for things to come to him. Or this person is not a faithful steward. Oh, maybe you think heaven, they are not watching how we treat the things they give to us. They watch. Amen. So you need to understand. What I'm saying this is this. It's good we understand it. Back to where I was. If you don't have a culture of honor for the aged, a culture of honor for the gray, a culture of honor for those who are older than us, even though I may be a pastor, but I'm younger and I have older people that are there, I should also learn from them. I should be examples to them, though, as a pastor, because there's a grace that is in the life of a pastor, but I should also learn from them. But the real essence is this. You don't place honor on them, you will not be able to pick anything from them. You won't learn from them. So likewise, older women teach the younger women. So if younger women don't place honor on the older women, they will not be able to learn anything from them. I've watched it and I've seen some younger women enter into trouble because they refuse to do this. They just feel, our own age, your own time was olden days. You know, I see a whole lot of things, and I tell people, look, the scripture cannot be broken. Somebody say, oh, no, it's those days that nowadays that there's a way things are done. I'm watching you. We'll see where we'll end, but I know that there's somebody who had given birth before, raise children, and not only raising children, have also had a husband, and taking care of the husband, knows how to love the husband, and is now older, will be able to pass such instructions to you, teach you. Do you notice that here? It isn't saying that the pastor should teach the younger women how to love their husband. It's saying the older women should teach the younger women. So likewise, the older men should teach the younger men. So, but that if that honor is not there, then the chain will be broken, the link will be broken, and we'll discover that there will be a disconnect. Amen. Just remember some of the things I read in Hagin's book. You know, I may not be able to put it together, but I when Hagin was young, when he was pastoring, he started pastoring at a very tender age, and he had some older people that, of course, he confines in and also learns from older ministers, you know. Now that shows you something. For you to learn from them, you have to, they've seen things in ministry. Some of them, we are not even ministers. Some of them, we are just businessmen. They've seen things. Some of them, we are in the board, church board. They were older than him. They've seen things. He had to learn from them. Even though they respect him as their pastor, but he has to learn from them. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. He said, honor them. Amen. My prayer for us is that this thing will be a culture that we have as a people. Amen. How we relate with the older, how we relate with the younger, both male and female. And with the female, as mothers, being tender to our mothers and also to our sisters with all purity. Amen. So the scripture, you know, if you look at it, you see that in all the epistles of Paul, you could see that God used these epistles to what I call to encourage strong family life and relationship. Strong family life and relationship. And then relationship with other brethren. Because it's in this context of family, in this context of brethren, that the life of God will be expressed. That is the real place that God wants his life to be expressed. Relationship between one another. It's not in the shopping mall. It's not in the shopping mall. It's not how much you dress. It's not all of that. No, it's not any of those things that our mind goes to. You know, we are more expressive when it comes to the things that really don't matter. But where we need to express God's life more is in this arrangement. Family, brethren. And I can tell you, there's no way you can be brethren and family and all of that without obeying these instructions. So rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger women, the younger men as brethren, and the older women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. I'm praying that the grace and the wisdom to honor all men, first of all, and much more to honor those who are older, that it will come upon us as a people in the name of Jesus. Because this is part of what makes us salt and light on earth. When there is no more conversation, there is no respect. You know, imagine where young people are blushing on the older and all of that. That's chaos. God will rain fire. God punishes generations so that it might be well with you. Honor your father and your mother. I had one of our principals. We had two principals when I was in school, and then we are just kids, and he would take time to preach to us. The man was a very godly man. He would take time to preach to us, and then he would tell, there's something he used to say that I feared, and I kept it in my heart. He said, the way he looks at our generation, that he prays that he will not be alive when we become leaders of Nigeria. And I was wondering, okay, what did we do? Did we kill anybody? And I'm now saying, if he said that in my own generation, one of these present generation, if he was, I'm sure he has probably passed on, if he's to be alive and see this generation, he said, God, why am I here? What am I saying in essence? We don't want to be in a place where honor has been taken away, where respect for the older has been taken away. That is not a place. That's not godly. That society will not be godly. That society will not be sane. That society will not have order. Those things, you might look at it as nothing, but they are actually part of the thing that keeps man, that keeps healthy society, that keeps a healthy community. I'm stressing this because I find out that in this time, we are seeing these virtues going away. And the church should not be part of it. If we dishonor, there's no way we will dishonor and we'll be a candlestick church. So you can see what Paul was telling Timothy. These are the things that make for sound doctrine. When you're able to communicate this to them and they do it, they will be raised to become a candlestick church. And God will help us. That's the aim, at least to be raised to become a candlestick church. And these things we must do in the name of Jesus. So I admonish you today, please. I want you to begin to train your heart. You know, begin to train your heart. When you see somebody who is older than you in a bus, and you are, you know, our bosses here in Nigeria, especially Molue, you see someone who is older than you standing up, and because you've entered first, you are sitting down. Stand up and let the person. I remember I was coming down from the plane, and then there was this, you know, when they bring us to the, you know, the plane lands, and then the buses come to take us to where we'll collect our luggage, and there was this elderly man. You know, I've entered already. I was able to get a seat, and the elderly man entered. And I looked at him. I said, "Sir, come and sit down." Of course, I have gray hair too. but I know he's older than me. I said, "Sir," and I was tired. I was coming from a meeting. I was very, very tired, but I knew I want to live long. So I told the man, come and sit down. Oh, no, he said, no, no, no. You know how, because everybody wants to just be on their own. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't worry. I'm okay. I'm okay. I said, sir, I want to live long. I want to live long. Please, can you come and sit down? Then he now came and sat down. And when he sat down, you know, by the time we got to the place where we are going, you know, we've collected our luggage. And, you know, he came at the car park. He came to ask me if I'm going his way, so that because somebody came to pick him, probably his car. I didn't even know the person was, you know, such a notable person. Cars have come to pick him with his oddly and everything. He said, "Can I take you to where you're going to?" I said, "No, sir. I have a car that came to pick me." Now that was, I just had to do that because there was a car to pick me. But you could see that his heart was open. If there was nobody to pick me, he would have taken me with his oddly and with whoever, and then they would have taken me to where I was going to. But if I had just sat down on my own, I didn't know who was, I wasn't doing it so that he could repay me back, but I just knew that I told him, I said, "Sir, I want to be as old as you are. I want to live long. I want to be as old as you are." Amen. I'm praying for us. I'm praying for us, everyone that is hearing me, that this will be our heart, our attitude, will train our heart. The end of it, like I said, is to become the church that God desires. You might look at these things and say, these things are just, they are not. No, no, no. These things make for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. When you remove them, whatever we are doing, we'll just have knowledge. We will not have understanding. May God bless us today in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, I pray for everyone that is hearing me today. I'm asking that you will grant us grace, O God, that will measure up to your word, will measure up to your commandments, will keep your statutes, your standards, O God, that we will not be like the people of this generation, will not be like the people described in 2 Timothy, Lord, the last day people, where perilous time have come upon them and their hearts have been trained to be callous. I pray, my Father, that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon us, the Spirit of
wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You make us of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. We will fear you, our God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. I pray for those who need healing in their bodies, those who are sick today, Lord, because you have me do that. I obey you, my Father. I'm asking that you will stretch forth your hands, O God, and cause that in the name of thy Holy Son, Jesus, thy Holy Child, Jesus, that sicknesses and diseases be removed from the body of your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, I rebuke sickness. I rebuke disease. I rebuke whatever it is that have plagued them, that have hindered them, that have stopped them from making progress in the name of Jesus, that have stopped their health in the name of Jesus. I come against it, and Satan, I refuse you. You can't be in that body in the name of Jesus. Be gone. I say to you, be gone in the name of Jesus. And I declare the people healed in the name of Jesus. Everyone hearing my voice, healed in the name of Jesus. I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. I said to you, be healed in the name of Jesus. I said to you, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I sense someone is having, I'll call it, within the stomach region, a problem. There might be many kind of problems, but within the stomach region, a problem. That's the lower part of the thoracic cavity, the lower part, you're having problem. The person is having, like you've been, it's like heat constantly, heat that you've been having in that your, in your in intestine or whatever, but it's a heat and is discomforting from your stomach region to your intestine, you know, to your colon. Is heat and it's discomforting. You've had it for a while. I take authority over and against it because I just sensed it right now. I take authority over and against it. Satan, I command you to stop. You've done enough. Stop. It's okay. Leave him alone in the name of Jesus. Leave her alone right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be made whole. I say to you, be made whole. I say to you, be made whole. As somebody with fibroid that is listening to me, I want you to believe that fibroid can be dissolved without you going to remove it. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against going to the doctor, but I'm just speaking what I'm seeing in the spirit. That fibroid, the Lord wants to dissolve. It can dissolve. I've seen fibroids dissolve. I've seen it dissolve. So I know what I'm talking about. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that thing. It's an abnormality. It's an abnormality. It's not supposed to be in that body. It's abnormality. In the name of Jesus, I speak to that fibroid. In the name of Jesus, I command you to dissolve. Amen. And be removed. Amen. Totally in the name of Jesus. Amen. I command you to shrink totally. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Be made whole, sister. Amen. Be made whole. Amen. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. I hear, thank God for this word of knowledge coming. They don't flow all the time, but when they come, we use it. Amen. Somebody has a right ear problem. You've not been hearing well with your right ear. I can sense it. Your right ear is not sound like it should. You have problem with it. And sometimes, I don't know the kind of problems, but you don't hear well with it. There might have been some damage. But today, the anointing of the Lord is resting. I can feel it strongly. Wow. I can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit resting upon your head and then flowing to that your ear. In the name of Jesus, I command that ear to be open. Whatever damage that has happened to that ear right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak healing to that right ear in the name of Jesus. Be made whole right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I see the Lord stretching forth his hand to touch a whole lot of people that are sick in their body. Please receive your healing today. I say to you, receive your healing. Whatever it is, believe and receive your healing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shalom.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call +234 816 236 6700. You can also contact us through WhatsApp on +234 803 688 4759. God bless you.